We're following news that the woman involved in the San Bernardino shootings pledged allegiance to ISIS on Facebook. The U.S., of course, is leading a global coalition that's trying to defeat ISIS, which is the richest terrorist organization the world has ever seen. To hear about how the U.S. government is targeting the money ISIS has for operations, we're joined now by Adam Zubin, Acting Treasury Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. Adam, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much, Indira.
So the Treasury Department says Islamic State gets its revenue from bank looting, oil and gas sales, extortion and taxation, kidnapping and other criminal activities, and some overseas donations. How much money are we talking about altogether?
Well, the sums are quite large, and it's just a demonstration of how big of a challenge we have in front of us. We're estimating hundreds of millions of dollars they were able to loot from banks in the territory that they captured, in addition to hundreds of millions in oil sales on the trajectory that they've been on in terms of annual revenues. And then you add to that what they've been able to take in extortion or taxation from their own population in the territory that they control. It's a huge amount. What I need to emphasize, though, is that this group has costs. Unlike most other terrorist groups, they're trying to do something that normally only nation states try to do.
Yeah, namely, well, let's talk about that. ISIS has to spend some of its money, or even a large part of its money, providing services in the same territories it controls that used to be controlled by the Iraqi and Syrian governments. So how much is that depleting their resources?
So that's exactly where they run into very steep costs. Even if they're just trying to provide basic levels of governance, just providing electricity, water, utilities, and overseeing the populations themselves in these territories is an enormously costly endeavor. On top of that, they're trying to wage a multi-front war, and that if we can make a real dent in their revenues, then we can put real pressure on this group, and that's a vulnerability.
But Islamic State is unlike other terrorist organizations that you've targeted in the past in that it gets most of its funds from the territories it controls. I'm thinking of how Al-Qaeda, in contrast, depended largely on overseas donations, something that you yourself at the Treasury Department for the last decade, you were able to target by imposing sanctions, blocking financial transactions, and the like. So doesn't Islamic State create a really unique challenge for disrupting its finances externally?
You're absolutely right to note the differences between a group like Al-Qaeda and a group like ISIL that is controlling territory. I wouldn't say that the control of territory puts it into a unique box in that we've been confronting groups like Hezbollah, mm-hmm. like Al-Shabaab in Somalia, like Boko Haram in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. All or of FARC which in Colombia.
Exactly. All of which control territory to some extent and are drawing on sources, whether it's natural resources or whether it's extortion, to fund themselves. It is a more challenging type of battle that we then confront, but we're not without tools to be able to dramatically influence ISIL's resources. And keep in mind, when you're talking about targeting financing, it's not just targeting their incoming revenues, but targeting their ability to spend and use that money.
All right, well, let's talk about those tools that the Treasury Department has, and how effective have they been?
Well, I would say we still have our work cut out for us. But I point to two major things that I see severely impacting their revenues in the months to come. First, the military campaign by the coalition, mm-hmm. which in an operation they're calling Operation Tidal Wave 2, has been in a very substantial way going after every aspect of ISIL's oil production, refining, and sales infrastructure. There's a real potential to make a difference there.
So that's something where you're specifically trying to target the estimated $500 million a year that ISIL is getting from selling oil and gas both to Syria and on the black market. What about other things like the looting of banks, which has supposedly netted them between $500 million and $1 billion?
Well, in taking over territory, they're able to simply steal, as you point out, loot banks, loot cash from vaults. But that money is a one-time profit for them. And what we can do about it is make it much harder for ISIL to spend that money, to move it overseas. ISIL is not self-reliant. As much as they can derive a lot of what they need from within Iraq and Syria, there's a lot that they need to get outside of their territory. And that's where things like working with our coalition, and we have more than 30 countries working with us to combat ISIL's financing, that's where things like the sanctions tool, and that's where things like cutting off their access to banks, which we've done collaboratively with the Iraqi government, are all making a very important difference.
Tell us a little bit about how people are cashing their paychecks. People are still being paid by the Iraqi government in ISIL-controlled territory. Explain to us how cutting off banks prevents ISIL from getting that money.
There are many bank branches throughout the territory in Iraq that ISIL controls that would have once been connected through the central bank in Baghdad to the world financial system. Those banks have been cut off, and we're talking about 90 bank branches that can no longer access world markets. In terms of payments coming in, then, ISIL is forced to rely on things like cash couriers or hawalas, which are far more inefficient and cumbersome and can be costly in terms of moving money in and out of their territory.
All right. Well, looking outward, we know that ISIL is able to launch overseas attacks relatively cheaply. So how much do these strategies for cutting down on the group's revenue really matter if they don't need a lot of money for launching attacks like those that happened in Paris recently?
So I don't look at it in terms of depriving them of the tens of thousands of dollars it might take to carry out a specific attack. Our focus is to weaken and then ultimately destroy the group as a whole. And the group has massive needs for money. So the more we can impact the revenue, we really do have a chance of weakening them, of weakening their hold on territory. And that's what's going to ultimately put pressure on them to lose territory and ultimately, we hope, to lose their coherence as a group.
Adam Zubin, Acting Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence at the U.S. Department of Treasury. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Indira.
You're listening to Here and Now.